Thanks for checking out the Root Church podcast today. If this is your first time listening in with us, we want you to know that you are loved. Wherever you're joining us from, we hope that this message encourages you.
Genesis chapter 2, verse 20, "But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep, and while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and then closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. The man said, 'This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man.' This is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh. Adam and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame." And for the next few minutes, we're going to talk on this thought, how to be complete. How to be complete. Will you just bow your heads and pray with us today? Lord, I thank you so much for this morning. Lord, I thank you that your love is real. God, that it's powerful, and Lord, that it's waiting for every single one of us in this room as we open up our hearts. God, we look to your word. There's power and truth in your word that changes everything about our lives. And so speak to us today, Jesus. We're listening. We love you. And everybody said, amen.
Amen, amen. You know, since we started this church, we've always had a strong conviction that we want to make sure that we preach the Bible, teach the Bible, the whole Bible, but also that we make sure that we're making the Bible understandable and relatable and relevant to where you are. And as you study the Bible, what you'll find out is that God has a whole lot to say about relationships. It's important that we know that Jesus Christ, and I've said this many times in our church, but Jesus Christ, he came, yes, number one, to reestablish our relationship with God. I call that our vertical relationship. But after you get your vertical relationship in line, you'll notice that Jesus, his teaching, helps all of our horizontal relationships. That's the relationships with each other. It's kind of a fun week for us because tomorrow, if you can believe this, I don't even know how this happens. This is not even on purpose. This is just God's grace. Tomorrow, Monday, February 19th, is going to mark 16 years to the day that I met and fell in love with Dawn Cherie Lene
16 Duron. Years. Let's go.
What do you remember most about that day?
I remember
my good looks.
This guy walked in an auditorium very much like this, his church service. Blonde tipped hair, puka shell necklace.
Don't hate.
This, you were like kind of like a skater, weren't you? Were you a little bit?
I was kind of more like a poser, to be honest
with
you.
Dirty white tennis shoes.
It was the NSYNC day. Bye, bye, bye. I was fully.
And I remember we went to Subway. Because I was friends with his brother. Yes. This is off script. And Rich kept looking at me and going, "So what kind of guys are you into?"
That's a good line. That's a good line. I want to know.
Oh, I remember it perfectly.
And at what point were you like, "My God, I got to marry this man"? Yeah. Not that day.
I never thought I'd see you again.
Oh. Sheesh. I think for Dawn Cherie and I, tomorrow being 16 years of knowing and hanging out, and really honestly, that day, our relationship in many ways began as we started to fall in love over the phone and talking, and we were in two different states, and we were both at the time 17 years of age, and really this journey began. And this past summer, we celebrated 11 years of marriage. Thank you. I love it.
Praise God.
It's our team on the front row. Thank you. But also, 4 weeks ago, we just had our first child, and all of this, it's been a journey. And relationships, in many ways, that's what they are. They are a journey together. And I think on the journey, what we've had to constantly remind ourselves, and there's been seasons where we got it better than other times. There's been seasons where we were more challenged at times. But on the journey, I think what Dawn Cherie and I had to discover for ourselves is that we are complete in Jesus without the other person. And sometimes, like, whenever we start talking about relationships, like, you can't skip this first message. And some of us right away, you're like, "Okay, yo, but give me, like, practical tools, and how do I tell them I like them, and how do I make my marriage last?" But if you're going to have love that lasts, I'm telling you, this is the most important ingredient. that you would learn to discover that your identity and your completion does not come from your partner, does not come from your job, does not come from your social status or your bank account, but your completion as a person comes from one. His name is Jesus Christ. Come on, 10 a.m., make a little bit of noise. I know I'm sitting on a chair, but don't make me... I want to illustrate it because I think this is going to be better to see it for a moment. So I want you to see it a little bit because this is a good way to understand it. And imagine for a moment, imagine I'll be blue. Dontre, you'll be yellow. That's probably not the best color to use, but
I like
anyways.
Yellow.
But let's imagine for a minute, this is me. And I think this is what happens in so many relationships. So many people, they're like going through life and they can't wait to meet that special someone. They can't wait to start a relationship. They're so excited about getting married. They're so excited about dating people. And the problem is that when they kind of come together, we hear this stuff in society, like, you know, I'm waiting for that person, my soulmate, to complete me. And you even hear things at weddings, you know, like, you complete me. And we watch that in movies, you complete me. And it sounds so beautiful and it sounds so romantic. And we cry and we clap, like, I want a man like that and I want a girl. We do it all. But here's what happens. I want to be very, very clear, is that so often people, let's pretend for a moment that this bucket is your life. What happens to many people is many people, that they go through life and they're hoping that someone's going to complete them. Yet because they've never first had an encounter with Jesus, and because they haven't first discovered their value in Jesus, because they first haven't been mended and made whole in Jesus, what happens is that they get ready for a relationship and they're going, I'm so excited, here we go, I'm starting this thing, this girl's beautiful, this guy's awesome. And as they get ready to pour into that person or let that person pour into them, the problem is that they've never ever dealt with the holes in their bucket. Let me just be honest with you. If you got holes in your bucket, it doesn't matter who you find. It doesn't matter how great he is. Doesn't matter how great she is. They will not be able to fix the holes in your bucket. I see this all the time. I see people, they fall in love and the person is great, but they thought that that person was the thing that was going to complete them. And so that person starts to love them, but it's just a matter of time before the person's going, yo, this isn't satisfying me and this isn't completing me. Well, there's no wonder it's not completing you. They can't complete you. They can give the best of themselves to you, but if you got holes in your bucket, you're going to leak. And how many know it's hard to love when you leak, and it's hard to lead when you leak. And it's hard to be secure when you leak. And many of us today, there's holes in our bucket. I want you to watch this because this is so, so very important. What ends up happening is if you don't address the holes in your bucket, what you'll do is you will create false expectations on people. And so we start to have this expectation that somehow your job and your role is to fulfill me, to complete me. But really, that person can try their best, but no matter what they do, they will not be strong enough, they will not be good enough, and quickly, your false expectation will lead to the greatest disappointment. And many of us, we go from relationship to relationship to relationship, and it really had nothing to do with the other person that was the problem. The problem started with you. The problem was that you weren't willing to address the holes in your bucket, and it didn't matter what was poured into you. You were simply going to leak out in just a matter of time. Come on, how many of us today here at VU Church, we want to address the holes in our bucket, and we want to be made complete in Jesus? Come on, somebody, give Jesus a big shout of praise. If you know, he can complete you. And really, Dontre, I think as we're starting today, love that lasts and how to be complete. Jesus is the one that completes us. But I think it's good for us to kind of see the process of what he does. Because whether you're married, whether you're dating, whether it says it's complicated on Facebook, all of us have to address these holes in our bucket. And I think God takes us through a beautiful process.
You're right. And it's not just about filling the bucket of your life. It's about filling the bucket of your life with the right things. How many of you know there's a big difference? I've met a lot of people in life who their life is full of a lot of stuff. They've accumulated everything that the world says will fill you up. They've achieved everything that the world says is success. But how many of you know that it's not just what you fill your life with, it's who you fill your life with. And it starts with Jesus. And we're not looking to just fill the bucket of our life. We're looking to fill the bucket of our life with the right things. And if the definition of being complete is to have all the necessary or appropriate parts, then how many of you know in all of our lives, if we're being honest, we have some unnecessary things. We have some inappropriate things when it comes to walking out the God-ordained purpose in our life. And so if you're taking notes today, the first thing that we've got to do in order to be complete is we have to remove. There's some things in all of our lives that we've got to remove. God didn't just give his only son to die on the cross so that we could have fulfillment to add to our life, but he came to remove sin once and for all from our life. When we look to our life and our purpose, we have to realize that on a day-to-day basis, the bucket of our life, there are holes, there are things that need to be fixed, but how many of you know you can't see what needs to be fixed when your life is jammed with a lot of unnecessary things that are taking up space, blocking your vision from what God really has for you? So we've got to take the time to trust God to remove that junk. And it's not just sin, it's just unnecessary things. God on a daily basis wants to remove the unnecessary things in our life so that we can see the holes and so that our life can be fixed. So in our relationship with God, he removes the things. But how many of you know in godly relationships with one another, he also uses those relationships to remove the unnecessary things in our life? See, relationships with one another, it's not just about addition. It's also about the things that are a detriment to our life being removed. There's a scripture in Proverbs that says this: as one man sharpens, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. As iron sharpens iron, so one woman sharpens another. So how does the iron, how is it sharpened? By removing the rough edges. There's a removal process that will make you sharper. Your relationships will remove things in your life that you don't need. You know, we see this picture that Jesus gives us of being a part of the vine and pruning. You got to prune that vine. Why? So that it stays small? No. So that it grows more than it ever could if it was left alone. I'm telling you, when we start to trust God enough to remove the things that need to be removed, at that point, we see the holes in our bucket and God is able to fix it. But it starts by understanding that it's not just what we add, it's what we remove. So for your relationship to improve, what do you need to remove?
Great.
For your relationship to improve, what do you need to remove? I remember very clearly in the first year of my marriage, an aha moment. We have a lot of those in the first year of marriage. Can you say amen? It's like you're learning a lot. But I remember having a moment with God where I realized that my relationship with Rich wasn't just to make me happy, but it was to make me holy. That as I walked in relationship with Rich, and he knew not just the good things about me, but the weaknesses in my life. As he knew me like no other person knew me, saw the mistakes that I made, saw my weaknesses, that he didn't just come alongside me to make me happy and feel goosebumps and butterflies, but if I was actually honest and humble enough to allow his voice into my life, that he could help me remove the weaknesses in my life. But so often, we don't want to hear it. We don't want it removed. We just want to keep pursuing happiness when happiness and fulfillment and wholeness and completeness comes when we trust God enough and trust godly relationships enough to say, that's got to go. That can't stay any longer. How can we be complete? It starts when we trust God enough and trust the godly relationships in our life enough to remove some things. Let me tell you, the last 3 weeks, this precious kid in my life, Wyatt, he has removed some things in my life. I am less selfish than I was 3 weeks ago. I am more patient than I was 3 weeks ago. And the Spirit of God within us and within the relationships that he's placed around us, if we lean in and if we trust, it will develop the fruit of the Spirit within us. It will remove the sinful nature and it will develop us into the identity that God ordained us to walk in. Do you believe it today? God's doing something, but it's not just what we add, it's what we remove. So what needs to be removed for your life to improve? Is it toxic thinking? Toxic relationships? A toxic mindset on who you are? We can't waste any more time. We gotta release it so that God can then show us the broken areas.
It's beautiful. I think what's cool is when you think about that bucket, until you remove the contents of that bucket, you can't begin to fix the holes of that bucket. That's what our life looks like. There's certain things that have to be removed in order for the broken areas to be addressed. So the first thing that God does is he will remove things. He will cut things out. But the second thing that he does is he will begin to repair. Everyone say repair. I think this is an interesting word because what I've learned on my journey of faith with God is that many times we think the removal part of the process is going to be the hardest part. But I want to encourage you a little bit today is that it's actually, I think, in my opinion, repair, which is the harder part. Because the way that God so often will repair us is by restricting us. I remember maybe a year and a half ago, I was playing basketball, which you guys know how good I am at this stuff. And and I was playing and I jammed my fingers, my middle finger of all fingers, I jammed my middle finger. And it was, I mean, it was fractured. It was just massive. And the recommendation was that I had to wear this splint, which was kind of funny because I'd come to church and my middle finger, no matter what I would be pointing, I was like, whoa, is this guy, what's this guy trying to say, you know? But I had to wear this splint. And the reason why I wore the splint was because the splint was there to restrict mobility. Not forever, but for a season for strength to come back to the finger. How many of you know that when the doctor recommended the splint, he wasn't doing it because he was mad at me. He was doing it because he was trying to repair me. See, when God restricts you, it's because he wants to repair you. You got to get this in your heart today because this is huge when it comes to relationships. It's amazing what James said, and a lot of us, this will kind of fit with what we just came out of January, but James says in James chapter 1, verse 2, he says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete. There's that word. Not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. So notice what James is saying. This is like something that we've like really been hearing for the last really month at VU Church, is that many times, in order for us to walk into triumph, we have to be tested first. We have to walk through trials if we're ever going to get stronger, if we're ever going to develop. He uses that word right there that we're talking about. He says, I want you to be complete, but the only way you're going to be complete is when you walk through the testing and the trials of your faith. And what's amazing that I learned about people is that we're so good at compartmentalizing our lives. You say, what do you mean? I think many times we understand this idea of trial, testing, and restriction in certain categories. Like in the educational world, we all know that we have to go through trials and testing before we can graduate. We understand the professional world, that you gotta most of the time kind of start at this job and you gotta go through the testing and the trials before you can be promoted to the next job. We get this in the physical world, right? Like you don't just go to the gym, we've talked about this a million times, and show up and wow, six pack. It doesn't work that way. You gotta go through the testing and the trials. In the athletic world, come on, we know this. There's trial after trial, testing after testing. Why is it that we think that our relational life can escape this principle? You say, what do you mean? If we're going to build relationships that last, if you're going to be complete in God before you come to a partner, how many of you know that in the same way of all those other categories, your relational life will have to be tested? God is going to put restrictions on you, not because he's mad at you, but because he wants to repair you. See, this is, I want you to get this because we don't have nearly enough time today to talk about all the things that we read in the Bible. But what happens to us is that we read the Bible and we read some of this stuff that God prescribes for our lives. And when we read it, we think it's because God wants to limit us or God is mad at us or God is a boring God. So we read things like sex is for marriage. And you go, that's old. That God, man, he wants to restrict me. No. He wants to repair you back to your original state. I know, sorry, we're in Miami. I'm not expecting lots of claps here. It's okay. It's okay. We're going to go on a journey. Everyone belongs. You're all good. We're all good. People are like, I don't know. I'm clapping, but I don't like this. I can sense a room. I know. But let's deal with that one next week. Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5 says, wives, submit to your husbands. A lot of us, we read that, but God, yo, don't you know this is the year of the woman? What's up? And it's because you're viewing the wrong filter. Or let's go to the other side. The next verse gets even worse. It says, husbands, die for your wives. Girls like, I ain't submitting. Dudes are like, I ain't dying. Let's go with something we can all agree with that we know the Bible says. The Bible says this. We go, how much should I forgive? Jesus says 70 times 7. He was trying to give you some math because you're like, what is that? That's the whole point. He's saying you should continually forgive. And all of this, it feels like restriction. It feels like it's limiting my mobility. It feels like a trial. It's a trial to be in a marriage for 11 years and choose forgiveness. But I'm telling you, when you let God restrict you, it will repair you back to your original state, and you will find yourself walking in relationships that actually last. Two things I want you to write down, giving you some stuff to think about this week. If you're going to make sure that you let God repair you, number one, you need to believe it. You need to believe it. Some of you right now, you walked in here and you're like, you're on the other side of this thing. You're 19 years into a marriage and you want out. You think this thing is broken. And I want to speak hope today. I want to speak faith today. Yet the starting point for God to repair that thing is for you to actually believe that maybe he can. I'll even take that. Maybe you can, God. If I could get you walking out of here today with whatever your relationships look like going, maybe God, you can. Maybe God, you can do something. That would be the starting point of repair. I remember with Dawn Shree, the first time she broke up with me, I was 18 years of age. I always say the first time because there was lots of times, okay? But the first time was probably the most painful, but it was also probably the most authentic and real. And ultimately what it came down to is there was some things in my life that Dawn Shree was not gonna tolerate. And she wasn't doing it in a shameful way. She was just saying, I'm not marrying a guy who's as manipulative as you are. I'm not marrying a guy who's as controlling as you are. And I'm not marrying a guy who's as insecure as you are. And so I had to go back to the drawing board and I had to consider, is this the woman I wanna spend my life with? If so, do I believe I can change? Do I believe I can improve? I think the first part of repair is always to believe it. Secondly, I want you to watch this. Oh, this is the one we don't like very much. You gotta believe it, but you also gotta reveal it. You gotta reveal it. You can't repair what you fail to reveal. You can't. Imagine going to the doctor and be like, I'm sick. And he's like, what's up? I'm not telling you. He's like, well, I don't know what we can. No, I know I'm sick. What's up? I'm not telling you nothing. How many know you gotta reveal the symptoms in order for him to diagnose the sickness? And a lot of us, we have such warped ideas of relationships. We've had so many partners and so many toxic moments, and the picture we have for a relationship is really warped and it's really messed up, and we come from broken homes and we come from a past that carries baggage, and we're wondering why we love God so much, and we're wondering why we love church so much, and we're wondering why God is amazing, but then we're going, why can't I get this stuff right with people? I was talking to someone not too long ago and they said, yo, like, I don't know how to maintain any type of relationships. They've been coming to church for over a year. They love church. They love God. This is not about loving God. This is about, will you reveal the wounds and the pain enough in your life? And will you allow God's plan to provide restriction for a little while so that you can gain better strength, bigger strength, and you can have full mobility in the future? God restricts you in order to repair you. And here's one little shameless plug. One of the things I'm so proud of our church is that really about 6 months ago, we started on Tuesday nights. We have a thing on Tuesday nights. If you don't know about it, this is a good resource for you. It's called VU Care on Tuesday nights. And it happens on our seasonal model, meaning it's on for 3 months and it's off for a month. But one of the things that we started in season three of 2017 is we launched our premarital counseling. It's called Symbis Training. And we've been having couples go through, I think it's a 5 to 6 week course. Other couples from our church, they come and they help teach. And some of you are like, well, I've already been married, or like, I'm not even married. Let me tell you, what you'll learn in there is it's gonna give you tools and resources for you to strengthen your marriage. Maybe you're not even married yet, but I'm telling you, the content that you're gonna get is gonna help you walk into the truth of who God's called you to be, and it's gonna help you set up a plan to make sure that you have relationships that last. Come on, if you believe it, come on, 10 a.m., make a little bit of noise. We gotta remove, we gotta repair, and we gotta do what, Don Cherie?
And lastly, we have to refill. And I love this, because every single moment of every day, how many of you have experienced it for yourself? God is just waiting to refill us with his love and with his peace. If we wanna be complete, it's not just a one-time moment.
It's good.
God starts the process when he makes us brand new, when he heals our life. But then we get to walk every single day being refilled with the presence of God. Hear me today. The water I drank yesterday is not good enough to keep me hydrated today. I need something new. And listen, the word that God spoke to you last year, the word that God gave you last month, it's not good enough for today. God has something new for you today. And when we look at the bucket of our life and that God has a plan for us to be whole, for us to be complete, it's not just a one-time moment. There's always more. God is always doing more. You want to be whole? You want to be complete? That's a daily process. It's a daily filling with the presence of God. He says, my mercies are new every single morning. I'm waiting. What is refill? What does that mean, to be refilled? It means to be renewed. To be renewed. Romans says so clearly in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. What does that sound like? Good, acceptable, perfect. Sounds like being complete to me. The renewal of God is waiting for you daily. And I remember when I moved to Tennessee at 17 years old, and you know, I would wait to find time to talk to my family, because in my mind I thought, oh, I need to have an hour because there's so much to share with them. I've got to find time. I've got to block off a huge block in my schedule to call them and make room. And what I realized very quickly was, between my job and between all the other responsibilities that I had in life, that hour and a half block never came around. And the calls were never made. And what I learned very quickly is that I had to take the moments as they came to connect. That the 5 minutes here and the 15 minutes there and the drive and then the moment for coffee and then over breakfast. And it only took a few minutes to connect with those that I love, but it made all the difference. And maybe today you feel so disconnected from God, but you're waiting for the conference to have an encounter with the presence of God. You can do it right now. You can be refilled. You can be renewed simply by taking the moments as they come. That the moment you wake up, before your feet hit the floor, my mom wrote a song for us when we were little. She said, before my feet hit the floor, I'm going to praise the Lord. That just the moment I wake up, I can say, thank you, Jesus. That's how we connect with God, and that's how we connect with those we love. I can't wait for date night to tell Rich that I love and appreciate him, to look into his eyes and say, "You are amazing. You changed my life forever." I can do that in 1 minute as he walks out the door, and immediately we're refilled with that love that first initiated our relationship. God wants to refill you. But you got to take the time to allow your heart, your mind to be renewed. What else is to be refilled? It's to find rest. It's to find rest in the presence of God. You may be running. Your life and your job and your responsibilities may be busier than ever. But can I tell you, there's rest waiting for you in the presence of God. Right now, there's a refilling. The Holy Spirit is drawing you to him because he adores you and he doesn't want you to try to make it on your own. He wants to refill completely the bucket of your life with his strength and his presence. You got to find rest. Over the last 3 weeks, living with this precious boy named Wyatt, who's almost a month old, I can't believe it, I've learned this new term, and it's called a startle reflex. You say, what the heck is that? Well, this kid can hear the slightest noise, a door creak, someone breathing next to him, and all of a sudden he is startled. His arms shoot up in the air. His feet kick. He has the sensation that he is falling and isn't safe, and all of a sudden he can go from being completely at peace to screaming at the top of his lungs. He has a startle reflex, and you say, "Don Sheree, how do you stop that?" Well, I had to learn really quick. The way that you put a child at peace who has a startle reflex is you wrap them tightly. You swaddle them. You take their arms and their legs and you say, "Don Sheree, that sounds miserable." "Oh no, it's heaven for him. He feels safe and secure, like he's being held in my arms. As I hold him, as I wrap him tight, he suddenly feels secure. And the things that used to startle him, they don't startle him anymore. He's able to rest." And all of us in life have startle reflexes. We have things that all of a sudden trigger anxiety and fear, that all of a sudden bring up memories of the past, of what could happen. And all of us have to come to a place in life where daily we take the time to be refilled with the presence of God so that we're reminded that we are held securely in the arms of Almighty God, that no situation can shake us, can move us, can wake us, or can take us off the path of purpose that God has ordained for our lives. God has rest for you. Will you let him refill you and make you complete? I'll never forget, there was a moment in our life, it was before we were married, where we were in a tough situation. We didn't know if we were gonna get married. We didn't know if it was gonna happen. I was brokenhearted. I have the picture in my mind like it was yesterday. I pulled up in my car. It was late at night. I was by myself and I just needed some time to think. I pulled up in front of this lake and I sat there and I was crying and I was praying out. I was crying out to God, just going, "God, I don't even know the words to say. I really need some direction.
Come on.
I really need your guidance." And I opened up my glove compartment and I found a pen and I found an old receipt and I turned the receipt on its back and I just started to write out the names of God. I started to write out who he is, that he is my shelter, that he is my refuge, that he's my peace, that he holds me securely, that he will never leave me, that he will never fail me. And let me tell you, right there in that car, I was refilled with an awareness that I was not alone. And God today says the same thing to you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Will you allow him to refill you with an awareness that you are held securely in his arms? What does he need to remove today? What does he need to repair today? And what do you need in this moment for him to refill and remind you of who you are? This is a cycle we do over and over again in life. Remove, repair, refill. Remove, repair, refill. And it's at that moment that we trust the purpose and the plan of God to remove, repair, and refill, that we're actually ready for relationship. That we're actually ready to walk into relationship. Two secure individuals make one secure relationship. And God has a plan today for our relationships. Amen?
Let's walk over here. Yeah. I think that it's important to get a picture of this. Going back to our opening text now, Genesis chapter 2, we sort of open with that, and that's the very first couple, if you will, in the Bible. And the picture that we see is that Adam is there in the garden, and he's got a job and a responsibility, and God looks down upon Adam and says, you know what, he needs a helper. He needs a partner. Doesn't need a slave, doesn't need a servant, doesn't need a secretary for a wife, needs a partner. The Bible says that Adam is put into a sleep, and there from Adam's side, woman is formed from his rib. I've always loved that picture because God didn't take woman from Adam's feet because she's not beneath the man. And she wasn't taken from his head because she's not above the man, but rather from his side because they're to walk together in relationship. The picture we see from the get-go is that two whole individuals, two healthy individuals, is what makes a healthy relationship. So I want you to watch this again now, and we'll start with Don Cherie. Actually, we'll start with me. Let's do this. I like this. Now, as I've put my faith in Jesus, he's removed some stuff from my life. He's repaired the holes in my life, and he's refilled me. And now, all of a sudden, my job is I'm full of Jesus. Now, watch this. I come to the relationship. This is big. Write this down. My job is never, ever, ever to fill Don Cherie's cup. My job is simply to pour mine out. You understand that? I can't fill her up. My responsibility is every single day that I'm gonna pour out who I am. I'm gonna give the best of who I am. She has every part of me. I'm giving myself, I don't know. I gotta trust that God fixed her holes. If she's got holes in her bucket, it doesn't matter how good I am, I won't be able to fill them. So I can't trust that my job's to fulfill her. My job's to pour my bucket out. Now watch this. Don Cherie now goes, and she's a whole girl. She too, we're walking in relationship. And the Bible says this, that Adam and Eve, that one day a man should leave his wife and that the two should be joined together. This is why sex is not just physical. I could talk about another week, another whole week. It's not a one-night stand. It's not an experience. It's so much deeper because he should leave his mother and father and the two should become one flesh. Because watch this, I'm blue, she's yellow, but she pours into me. Now watch this, something takes place here. Something happens here. Marriage is not completion. No, marriage is creation. It's something brand new. Yeah. We become one flesh, two whole individuals coming together to create something that never existed before. It's brand new. It's spiritual, it's emotional, it's physical. I'm telling you what, it's what starts a relationship that will last. How to be complete, remove, repair, refill. Yeah. Remove, repair, refill. And when you do that enough times, you set yourself up to be ready for a godly relationship. Come on, somebody. If you believe it, give God a big shout of praise.
Our community at VU Church aims to reach our city and beyond with the life-transforming message of Jesus. Thank you for your support. If you want to further connect with us, you can find us online at vuchurch.com or on any social media platform at vuchurch.